Hello, welcome to the Chess Watching Podcast. Happy New Year. We did have a podcast a couple of weeks ago, but it was actually recorded in 2019. It's the first podcast of 2020. I'm pleased to welcome to the podcast John the Brickwood.
Hey.
We've got Matt Crazums-Reed.
Hello, everybody.
And we've got Chris the General Levy.
Levy, okay. Happy 2020 to everyone.
To our many listeners. Welcome back. I thought we might start the podcast with John the Brick, who's just fresh from his first victory at Season's Beatings. Who did you beat, John?
Mark, the Essex Bomber. Essex Bomb. Came on like a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say what he ended up like.
Well, I have to say his entrance was
fantastic.
Yeah, it would have been, because we had some awards on Thursday at our annual quiz, and there was an award for best performance, and I'm pretty sure he might have won that award were it not for a certain
robot.
Yeah,
was fabulous. Yeah,
so yeah, it was a strong category at the awards night. Chess Boxing Oscars.
I'm already working on my best entrance for next year, because I want the nomination
year,
at least. This year or next year's awards, I should say. Okay. for the 2020 fights.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to give anything away, or is it top secret?
Well, what's this? So basically, the best entrance, it went to Anthony Toto the Robot, who did a... I'd call it a gimp suit, but it's probably got a more technical term.
It's a morph suit, I think.
It's a morph suit, apparently. So he came out to the Weather Girls, It's Raining Men, and did a very extravagant dance. And I've decided that I'm going to come out to the Baywatch theme tune, because the chorus to that is I'm Always Here.
You've done that before, haven't you?
And although I've done it before, I too tend to always be at the event. So I thought I'd come out to that, and I'd come out with a slow motion jog.
So you're going to then dive into the crowd from the stage, and they're going to carry you into the ring on their hands.
Crowd That's surfing. I don't think I can trust the crowd enough.
No, I wouldn't.
Wearing the famous red swimsuit, I hope.
The red swimsuit, and the red, whatever those float things are that they carry in, things that look like...
You get a kind of life-saving thing.
The thing you tuck under your arm. I'll come in with one of those. The Hasselhoff sort of hairy chest.
Yeah. You got a hairy chest?
No, I don't. I'm going to have to get one of those sort of, wigs and then just sort of...
Yeah, merkin or something like that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But speaking of entrances, John's I think we need to ask about as well, because that was, again, in a heavy category awards night. I think John was up there. Had he not won Most Improved, you'd have been a candidate for Best Entrance with your brick... Is it a hod?
Obviously being a bricklayer, it was like quite easy to get into that role of coming on with my, although I'm not a hod carrier, but you end up being a hod carrier.
Would you say you're above a hod carrier?
No. I don't want to get into going back
there's
home
a
to Salford.
I'll be,
not that anybody from the Salford's necessarily listening
Do
to
people
this,
still but, use hods?
Not very often, but maybe on small sites. It's all like stack a truck and... I think there's a health and safety thing about going up a ladder with them. So you used to just like throw them in the odd and run up the ladder and all that kind of thing. But you can't do that anymore. Mm. Thankfully, they were polystyrene bricks. So
they look so real, though.
It's the strength of the man. He was tossing them around.
There was a good amount of acting as well, where you sort of got them off your back as if you were carrying like 15 kilos of bricks and like put them down and... That first one that flew into the crowd, there was a few people ducking.
No, it ended up a good idea, didn't it? I don't know, it was a combination of things that we were doing.
How many bricks were actually preserved at the end of the night? Because I saw so many people in the crowd carrying a brick at some point.
You got some signed, didn't you? You signed some of the bricks.
Yes, people came up to me, which was a bit kind of shocking, and asking me to sign them.
Celebrity.
So I ordered about 50 bricks, and we probably use about a third, so there's a good couple of shows to go.
If you stuck up on somewhere, you could kind of have a wall, and I don't want to be take over as creative director, but you could burst through like a solid
wall. That is your song as well, isn't it?
He builds walls, he does not break walls. This would be anti-John, His opponent can break a wall. He's a wall builder.
I was thinking like Boris busting through with a JCB. You could have his opponent's name scrolled across it, and then you would just plow through.
Boris,
in the run-up to the election, he had Brexit, or Brexit done on some polystyrene bricks, and he was driving a JCB.
Oh, God, do we need any allusions to that?
the politics theme always works quite well, the events. You've had a few.
That's true.
No mention of the B word anymore.
Let's leave that one, shall we? But going back to Mark's entrance, I thought it was made doubly good by the 70s tunnel effect. Because I don't know if you watch the video, because the camera's on him and the camera's being shown behind him, he kind of moves, and then the other arm moves and it goes back into like infinity. It's really cool. I'm not sure that was part of the creative direction.
I'm pretty sure that was all choreographed. They've been practicing that for days. I'm glad it was pulled off on the day.
And Matt, of course, you chalked up another victory, did you not?
I did. I took on Cheyenne, my fellow landlord in the chess boxing world. So it was the Battle of the Landlords, Cheyenne's first ever fight. Fair play to him. He took it at pretty shortish notice. I think he only had about a few weeks, month to take that on, because previously I was going to be fighting Irish and Geroid.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Geroid broke a rib, bruised a rib, cracked a rib, something to do with ribs.
Yeah. But we've got him fighting Brian, so it's going to be the match. It's going to be a very good matchup, those two.
Yeah.
We've got a good lineup for the next show, which is on the 14th of March.
I know. Seriously, I'm already in training. That's the surprising thing.
And also, just out in the listener world, I wonder if anyone's got any ideas of what we might get Chris to wear. What do you think, John? Chris as commentator.
St. Patrick's Day bash.
What did you do last year?
Oh dear.
I don't think we had a green
tie.
You had a nice green tie.
Oh, we did.
You were quite smart, didn't you?
That was kind of like sub Sky Sports commentator. whereas now we've gone more down the humiliation rather than, as the production values have gone up, and it was really very good, the stream last time. I think the ridiculousness of what you forced me and fellow commentator Matt Lunn to wear has got significantly less professional.
So we're trying to keep the balance. So as the quality of the stream gets more professional, we're going to bring in more fancy dress and more performance.
We're going to be more silly.
Yeah. You're actually going to come as a shambler.
More professional, more silly.
I mean, current ideas have been Leprechaun, Bewitched for fans of late 90s Candy Pop.
If not, I'm going to come out to Roller Coaster. I love that track.
Or
Say La Vie.
Who did Roller Coaster?
Bewitched.
Yeah. Oh, they're an actual band. Sorry, I thought
they're an Irish girl.
Remember, we were speaking to Peter about it. He thought you meant the sitcom from the 1960s.
No, that's American, I think.
That's your afternoon listening sorted on the drive back, just honestly.
Yeah.
You've never heard Tinny Pop of its like.
I have some Bewitched on my phone. I mean,
it does not surprise me that at all.
You're more of a Katy Perry man. I can see how Bewitched would be like a proto Katy Perry.
You seriously don't remember Bewitched?
No, I do remember them, but I always get them mixed up with the Cause.
Oh no, the Cause were actually quality.
Were they?
They were actually Irish, though.
Three sisters and a brother.
Andrea and the brother was called Jim.
Jim Brummer.
Yeah.
No, he was the violinist, wasn't he?
No, he was a drummer. I think
he played.
Oh, was he? Okay. He was a drummer mainly, but I think he could play the violin. They were quite sort of multi-talented, those lot.
Speaking of instruments, Brian Mack, I don't know if you know this, but he plays the saxophone.
Oh wow!
So spoiler alert: we're going to try and mic him up, so he can play his own entrance theme.
Oh great!
I mean,
we're thinking, what would you go for? I love saxophone.
Jerry
Rafferty. That's exactly what.
Obviously,
that was my first choice.
The seminal saxophonist.
I want to dress him up as Lisa Simpson and then get him. Because she comes out playing the saxophone in the Exorcist.
Yeah, there's so many options, isn't there?
Yeah, and the fancy dress is much better for that.
The other one I thought was George Michael.
Oh, Careless Whisper. Careless Whisper.
Mm, that's it. I mean, it's not really high energy, though, is it?
It's also one of my favourite chocolate bars as well.
Whisper?
Yeah. Right. Big fan of the Whisper.
Getting onto that already.
Going back to
that's usually at the end of the podcast.
Recurring
themes. Yeah, exactly.
We like our chocolate.
Very good, Matt. So we'll look forward to seeing you in a red bikini, strutting your stuff across the stage. We'll make sure we get all the hair in the right places.
I'll channel my inner Pamela Anderson.
Yeah. Excellent. Chris, there's rumours. Some people are talking about you maybe thinking making a comeback.
Well, I've appeared twice in a row after appearing about twice all of last year.
Mm.
I'm not going to scotch these rumours.
Okay.
If you're not confirming them either, you're just going to stay mum at the point.
No, we had our talks. There were side talks with Crazy Arms.
Really? Okay.
At the Oscars event.
It was a summit meeting.
Summer.
It was a summit meeting.
We're targeting summer for the trilogy.
So you want to fight each other?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not coming back for anyone other than arms.
Yeah, I was about to say that the two superpowers were discussing things. It was like Trump, Putin in the negotiating table. We were discussing the weight that we'd come in at, you know, that sort of thing.
Because what? One
as old as Trump as well.
Who would be the challenger? Who would be the champion?
Because we might get to a point where the stream is so professional, we'll have to instigate some kind of like Donald Trump-esque WWE style, where you kind of just strip off your commentating clothes, get into the ring,
and get challenged,
start wailing on that.
maybe, so you know how like when somebody wins and they've got his next fight lined up, maybe we could have Matt calling me out.
Oh yeah.
While I'm dressed as Bewitched or a leprechaun or whatever,
and then you
pointing
out,
at me, and then I could be incensed, well, tear off my mic, and I could spring into the ring, and would have the stare down.
Yeah.
And then you'd be trailing the summer event already. Disability anticipation.
Okay, we can. I think that's a great idea.
I mean, obviously, people who've listened, and as I say, the many listeners of this podcast will know that it's all fake. But for the more casual fan...
Well, is it fake, though? I mean, it's choreographed, but there's definitely beef.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be beef.
I can feel it in this car.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I shouldn't have put them sitting next to each other in the studio. That was a mistake.
More beef than an Argentine steak.
We're going to need a bigger studio.
Get a bigger car.
Okay.
Giving it away. We're in a car.
Get a Beamer or something like that, because.
Okay. Well, just going back to the event. We've got another announcement to make.
Oh, go on.
I don't know if we should run through the lineup so far. We've got Daniil from Russia, who's an excellent boxer, very high quality. Andre Glenzer, who you might have known.
Andre's immense.
Very, very good. Very, very strong chess player.
Yeah, and he also came over for Nick Cornish.
So the one that he won in one round. Flew all that way.
Andre,
and won by chess.
You will seriously, you will definitely get some boxing this time, man. We will promise you, you will not win chess round one. So Andre, get yourself training in the boxing.
Yeah, so Andre, if you're listening, Daniil is a very strong chess player. I would say he's probably not as strong as you, but you know, it's chess boxing, it's not chess. So I for one can't wait for that.
Well, Russia, Germany, it's history there.
I don't know if you recall the match with Nikita against...
Sakari.
That's the kind of level of boxing we're expecting from the headline.
That was high quality.
It was high quality, and that's for the WCBA World Middleweight title belt.
Nice.
We've also got an announcement to make. We're matching crowd favourite Matt Crazy Arms Reed against Roger the Cannonball Baxter.
Well, that'll be a good fight.
We're in discussions with the WCBA as whether we can make that a British middleweight title.
You good?
I know you're both keen for that, so...
I like something around my waist to keep my trousers up.
That's true.
You know, the piece of string I've got at the moment isn't really cutting it. So, I could do with a belt.
And then we've got Gerard versus Aaron.
That'll be a good fight.
So it's Gerard's first fight.
The teacher versus the student. That's a good
filling it. That's true, actually. Aaron's a very good boxer, as you know. So is Gerard. Both very strong chess players.
Very strong.
They'll be coming in around just under 70 kilos.
Yep.
Who else have we got?
I mean, that's plenty of action already.
Yeah, so how many fights?
We actually have
got... Oh, yeah, sorry, and then we've got Garode and Brian. So that's four fights.
Yep.
Cheyenne's reserve.
Oh, right.
But we might try and book a fifth fight.
Oh, I think so. You never know what happens on the night.
Well, exactly. I mean, four fights is more than enough, really, but... We book five because people will get injured and we've got back up there. But we're looking at bringing Cameron back in. So we'll see. I can't confirm that yet.
That's good.
But we'd love to see the big guy back in the ring. Defending. Well, he probably won't be defending his title, but he'll hopefully have his belt with him.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was lovely to see Carl back after the first time in about 4 years because we had Carl Strugnell back on
meetings.
And, chess boxing legend.
Yeah, chess boxing legend. I mean, he did show a small amount of rust in the boxing, but he showed no rust at all in the chess. I mean, he was lightning. I mean, 16 seconds for the first round, I think he used. So, I mean, that's basically made about a move a second.
Finished
off with a queen sack.
Whipped it out.
I was about to say, Toby didn't see it. Gleefully thought he'd won his queen. And then Kosh, one move checkmate, wasn't it? It was like rookie 8-mate, wasn't
it?
Yeah. Great game. So, John, as you're on the podcast, can we just talk about your fight? How did you think the chess went? Because it was very back and forth.
I've got to apologise to this very learned crowd and people who probably listen to the podcast about my chess level, because, of course, it is pretty appalling.
Well, I don't know. It's improved a lot. You got most improved.
Yeah, 100%. Most improved. Very deserved award. I don't know from what level we were starting from, but unfortunately, Mark is a bright lad. But he's only just started playing chess, so I just got him. He was a bit confused, or slightly more confused than I was, and I realised he was running out of time. So I just went poncing around with whatever move I could make, hoping that it was going
to to run his clock down.
Yeah, to run his clock down.
Because you obviously don't hear. I don't know if you watched it, the stream back, have you, John?
I have watched it, but.
Because obviously when you're playing, you don't hear the crowd noise, and there was quite a few oohs and ahs and
But actually, because they were so loud, because my blunders were so terrifyingly bad, I could actually hear when I had holds sometimes of the piece, people going, whoa, bloody hell, whatever. I'm going, I'm obviously doing the wrong thing here, but I can't really be influenced by the commentators or the crowds. So I just carried on being ridiculous.
They must have been so loud because I could not hear anything when I had my headphones on and then my ear protectors.
They weren't particularly loud for John's game.
Yeah, it's because, we wind them up, don't we?
need to reconsider the music choice through the headphones. A bit less soft jazz.
I had rock. It was like a...
It's usually Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, it was sort of like... Yeah.
Mixed in with a few other things like Green Day and stuff.
Yeah, Green Day.
Like long guitar riffs.
Yeah. Bewitched on repeat. That would be the ultimate test.
I'm not sure we can.
There's an amazing song over and over again. So I came across recently. I don't know if anybody remembers the Chipmunks.
Yes.
So the Alvin Simon Theodore. They had a Christmas novelty single out about a decade ago.
Right.
It is dreadful. I would challenge anybody.
Like the singing on Helium.
Yeah, the singing on Helium. It's like the old Jive Bunny kind of very high.
The idea is not to put people off.
No, you could use it as like a leveler. Just to make
the stronger chest player gets the
worst music. It's the equivalent of drinking chess, but just with just with earworms rather than shots of vodka.
I love that idea.
Ipcrest file type kind of thing going on.
What's that?
The Ipcrest file. You're gonna be slightly older. The Ipcrest file.
No, I'm not.
Well, it's noise that kind of sends you crazy.
Ah, yeah, right. Good reference. Yeah. Okay. That's the other thing about John's fight was there was a bit of an age gap. I don't want to give it away. Obviously, Mark the Essex Bomb was coming in at 20, and you had probably like another 20 years on. So at 40 and 20,
I'm almost middle-aged.
It was quite impressive as well. I think you were showing, had better stamina in that one.
Yeah, I thought the boxing round, you looked a lot better than Mark. I hope Mark doesn't mind me saying that. Mark, I think, made up with his perhaps not quite as good technique by being incredibly angry.
He had a
great fight face.
He was brilliant, actually, because I'd hit him sometimes with my hardest right, and he would just kind of smile and then grimace at me. And I was thinking, oh my God. And I still have nightmares about that.
But yeah, he did look frightening, didn't he? He didn't land too many punches on you, though, I wouldn't say.
To be honest, I can't remember him. The adrenaline's running, I can't really remember him hitting me. But. I don't know, I'd have liked to have got closer in and perhaps kind of done some body work, inside work, and perhaps stopped.
But you have the reach on him, so it's...
Yeah, it ended up...
Natural for you to be at range.
And I was a bit knackered, so it was just one shot, two shots, one shot, two shots. Mm.
Yeah. And Matt, I know you're meant to be asking the questions, but maybe we should talk about, I hinted a bit earlier, at the production values.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with how that was last time. So kind of how did it come about? You had all the different camera shots, the graphics.
Yeah, so we've sort of been working with Protocol Sports Marketing. So they've been helping us improve the stream in terms of camera angles particularly, I think it's improved, and also graphics are the two obvious things.
Yep.
But there's all kinds of sort of adjustments that you perhaps aren't aware of that just give a slightly more polished impression. And I feel that we've still got some way to go. I think we had made a lot of changes, which made it hard to deliver exactly what we're aiming for. But we're going to go for the same sort of standard again and just try and improve it bit by bit. So yeah, big thank you to those guys at Protocol Sports Marketing, also to Cavsock as well, who are the guys who ran our stream now.
Yeah.
They put a lot.
Great stream team. Yeah. Awful quizzes though. I mean.
Well, in fairness, a lot of the questions were about chess boxes. So I'm not sure you can. Yeah. So shout out to Cavsock who came to our quiz on Thursday.
Great bunch of lads though. Great and ladies.
Great guys. Yeah. So I don't know if we're just about out of time. Is there anything else you want to add, John?
No, I'm looking forward to my next fight, Gavin, where I'll be lined up with a proper boxing challenge.
Okay.
And well, maybe
you better get on
chess.
The chessboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any
That's
chess
the deal.
Be
if
a
you
challenge.
Improve your chess to a good level, we'll do it.
Okay, cool. Great stuff.
Matt.
I'm going to try and win my award this year in terms of I've just been given most dedicated chess boxer, and I feel that, like, I'm dedicating the fact that
there
I never quit.
A few people asking if that was an ironic award.
I was about to say, a lot of people thought it was an ironic award, but I'm going to earn it. So this time next year, people will say, that guy's dedicated.
Okay. Yeah. And Chris, just before you go, what's your favourite chocolate bar?
Oh, definitely not a Whisper.
How can you not? It's pure chocolate. And anything else just dilutes the chocolate.
It's 50% air.
It's supposed to be chocolate bar. Yes.
Whisper's a con.
No, an Aero has more air than a Whisper. Come on.
So I quite like a Twix. And I just quite like nibbling the chocolate off the top, then proceeding to strip off the caramel layer. Finally enjoy.
That's a lot of people say Twix. I'd say probably 30% of people we are say Twix.
Are you accusing me of just going for a bland
sheep?
No, I mean, they're great. I think it's more, it says more about Twix, I think, than you.
I'd like to think so. But I'll be paranoid next time I'm there at the corner shop confronted with a.
Matt always chooses something different each time, so
yeah, of course.
I've no idea what his favourite chocolate bar is in actual fact. But what's yours, Matt?
This week?
Yeah, that's yours. What's yours this week?
I'm going to go for a bit of fruit and nut.
Is that even a chocolate bar?
Cadbury's fruit and nut.
Oh, you mean one of the big ones, like those slabs?
It's just a slab of chocolate padded out with
a bit of raisins. You could have a bit of fruit in
it. It's better than air, I suppose.
How else do I get my five a day?
Yeah, true.
I mean, that's at least one of my five a day right there.
And John, what's yours?
Oh, Gala, you asked me this last time. I think something from...
Were you on the last podcast? I think you might have been, were you?
No, a year ago or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't really have one, but anything kind of earthy.
Earthy?
Yeah. Ooh. Like kind of really dark.
Like Kendall Mint
Cake.
Like out
of some
cake.
Kind of miasmic swamp.
Kendall Mint Cake.
Mould from the
Bourneville. Bourneville, man.
Bourneville, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up there, guys. Thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, listener. Don't forget, the next show is on the 14th of March. You can get your tickets at londonchessboxing.com. You can also watch the live stream at twitch.tv/londonchessboxing. That's it from me, the Grievous Bodily Farmer. That's it from you, John.
Bye.
Matt.
Goodbye, everybody.
And Chris.
To the webs.